Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
This is Wretched Radio. What that word means now is not what it might mean in 10 minutes. In other words, in this instance, evolution is true, only in that we have ourselves a little bit of a definitions battle, which is evolving. We do not know what the final definition is going to be, but I think this is one worth monitoring because it involves you, Christian. What is that word, or in this instance, words? Christian nationalist. That's right. If you, in some way, shape, or form, get involved in anything social, not necessarily political, social, you're a Christian nationalist. What does that mean? Bill Maher is going to help us. Bill Maher, who you would probably consider to be a classic liberal, more liberal than, say, a JFK, certainly, but in contemporary terms, he's a classic liberal, meaning he is presumably for free speech, for different freedoms that America has been granting now for centuries. He is not one who is into political correctness, canceling, so it seems. He is a classic liberal, and yet recently, very recently, he did a little monologue on what he thinks is America's mass delusion, religion, specifically of the evangelical Christian kind, and he talked extensively about Christian nationalism. Please note, this is not the final word on the subject from Bill Maher, or certainly from me. Why? Because this is the new hot potato word, and if we aren't watching how it is evolving, you might just find yourself getting swept into a definition you don't agree with. Right now, Christian nationalism, as best we can tell, basically means everything as broad as you would like to riot at the Capitol and go in and do damage to it, all the way to, you know, I think it's kind of good when America has biblical values. It's that broad, and that is a bit of a problem. Because most likely you feel some sort of affinity toward the latter definition. Isn't it good that a society believes in marriage, whether they are Christian or not? Yes. Isn't it good that a society has a set of values that help human flourishing? Yes. But if I'm understanding Bill Maher correctly, that makes you a Christian nationalist. And the Christian nationalism moniker is not only broad in its scope, but it is most certainly a pejorative. At the very least, it is not good to be a Christian nationalist, which is why we're talking about this situation now, but we're going to keep watching it because it's going to keep evolving. And it is almost certain that if you are discussing any social, moral, or political issue, and you are known as an evangelical, you are probably going to be labeled a Christian nationalist. And if the society's understanding of that word is really, really bad, then you could really, really be in trouble. That is going to make this a bit of a challenge for us. Because if you happen to believe, you know, I kind of liked the America where racial issues were dealt with a little differently, where morality issues were seen through a different lens. There was a day when human flourishing was increased because marriage was esteemed and not considered an economic risk and optional. I like those days. Therefore, here's the math. You're a Christian nationalist, and Christian nationalism is bad. So even if the two words you happen to like, because, well, you know, that kind of makes sense. Okay, I kind of dig that concept. that the nation is operating with Christian principles, look out. Because if I'm understanding Bill Maher correctly, that makes you very, very dangerous.
And finally, new rule, as long as we're going to go to the trouble of another impeachment trial, we might as well be honest about what it's really about. The events of January 6th were a faith-based initiative.
Did you know that? Whether you agree or not, it's irrelevant. It does not matter what you think about a word. The question is, what does society think about that word?
And Trumpism is a Christian nationalist movement.
There you are. So if you attended what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 26th, that was a Christian nationalist movement. Whether you agree or not, I don't think it matters. If that is the way the world is labeling it, then, well, that's kind of what it is, whether you agree with it or not. So I think we need to get a handle on this so that we might want to consider how we go about the business of talking about these issues, because if you automatically get thrown into the kettle known as Christian nationalists, I really don't think that's going to bode well for you.
It believes Trump was literally sent from heaven to save them. It's right there in Senator Tommy Tuberville's campaign ad.
God sent us Donald Trump because God knew we were in trouble.
There's a lot of talk now in liberal quarters about how Republicans should tell their base, who still believe the election was rigged, that they need to grow up and move on and stop asking the rest of us to respect their mass delusion. And of course, it is a mass delusion. But the inconvenient truth here is that if you accord religious faith the kind of exalted respect we do here in America, you've already lost the argument that mass delusion is bad.
Hold the phone, Henrietta. Isaiah 5 coming to mind for anyone. What is good is bad. What is bad is evil. Everything is backwards. The Bible says the fool says in his heart there is no God. Bill Maher says the fool is one who believes in God. It's just all backwards. Bill Maher, while Jewish by ancestry, is certainly not a practicing Jewish man who believes in God. He believes that those who do are delusional, another word for fool. And yet the Bible labels Bill Maher as the fool. What I'm suggesting to you is that this is the zeitgeist, or at least the increasing zeitgeist du jour, which is also the zeitgeist of the day, that you are considered a delusional and dangerous person if you hold to any sort of traditional values and certainly now belief in God, all of which is getting tossed into a big bucket known as Christian nationalism. Thank you very much.
It's fun to laugh at QAnon with the baby-eating lizard people and the pedophile pizza parlors, but have you ever read the book of Revelations?
Okay, first of all, it's Revelation, but that little detail aside, Bill, clearly he doesn't understand the book of Revelation. It's apocalyptic literature that those symbols represent something. We give him a pass on that. I don't expect him to know those things, but listen to how he is thinking about you and labeling you a Christian nationalist who is delusional.
Yeah, that's the Bible. That's your holy book, Christians. And they've got seven-headed dragons and locusts that have the face of men and the teeth of lions and other stuff you only see after the guy in the park sells you bad mushrooms. Last week, the big story was Marjorie Taylor Greene believing in Jewish space lasers, which answered the question, will there be comedy after Trump? But the book of Revelations will tell you exactly where the world ends. Megiddo, Israel, I've been there. Yeah. That's where all of the armies of the world will gather, and Jesus will come down on a flying horse, shooting swords out of his mouth. Jesus, not the horse. And have a 1,000-year cosmic boss battle with Satan, the beast, and the Antichrist. It's like 10 Avenger movies plus 10 Hobbit movies times a night out with Johnny Depp. Spoiler alert, Jesus wins.
Spoiler alert. if Bill Maher is representative of a growing number of people who has that attitude toward the Christian religion and is equating anybody who is in that Christian religion with being involved at all, politically, morally, or socially, you are labeled a Christian nationalist and you are considered dangerous. There's nothing new under the sun. Christians, you will have to look far and wide to look for genuine theological oppression of Christians. You can find it here and there. You might argue that during the Protestant Reformation, pre-Reformation, the Huguenots, for instance, that they were indeed persecuted specifically for their faith. The Inquisition's Jewish people, specifically for not believing in Jesus. But overall, Christian persecution has come because we are a threat to the state. We are a threat to the popular opinion of the way that the world should work. And it's always put underneath the banner of, you are considered dangerous for our way of life. As we speak, the words Christian nationalism are being defined. And if you and I don't keep up with these ever-changing definitions, you and I might be branded as such and considered an enemy of the state. This is Wretched Radio. 59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, but the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe, and that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for joining us here today. You know, we always appreciate you choosing to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. We would also appreciate if you were able to find some time in your busy, busy schedules to visit the Wretched website, wretched.org. Wretched's website has some amazing content available, like full 30-minute Wretched TV episodes, full 60-minute Wretched radio episodes. Our Wretched store contains over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and Don't Stub Your Toe. The Wretched library is where you can find a whole bunch of topics ranging from abortion to pneumatology to marriage to evangelism. You can also visit our donate page and become a gospel partner. Without the support of our listeners, there would be no Wretched. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? We can't do this without you. You can find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Yes, you're busy, but I suspect you could spare 2 minutes if it saved you $500 a month. Please call MediShare for 120 seconds. They will give you a quote on affordable biblical health sharing, an alternative to health insurance. You get free telehealth services, a huge network of doctors, customer support, people praying for you, and 400,000 members sharing one another's health burdens. That is what MediShare is about. And on average, you will save, whether you are a single or a family, $500 per month. It will take you 2 minutes to make a phone call and find out how you could be saving and have peace of mind. Got 2 minutes? Call 844-34-BIBLE. 844-34-BIBLE.
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you're a Christian and if you love your country, you're a Christian nationalist. This is Wretched Radio. These two words that are being bandied about lately sure seem to have been taking on a flavor that doesn't taste very good if you happen to be a Christian. It is a broadly defined term. It is everything from the people in the KKK, white supremacists, all the way to, you know, it was kind of nice when we said a Pledge of Allegiance and sang America the Beautiful. Congratulations. If you are anywhere in that spectrum, you're a Christian nationalist. And that means you're dangerous, you're delusional, and you are an enemy of the state. Bill Maher, I think in his monologue, he represents exactly what is happening in our culture, probably started in academia, with the shifting in attitude toward Christians and the moniker. Monikers are very important. The moniker that seems to be catching on is Christian nationalist, that it is automatically deemed to be a bad thing. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky for us. Today is today. Tomorrow, the definition might be a little different. Yesterday, it was different than today. Are you somebody who loves the country and is a Christian? You need to be aware that you could be branded, and I mean branded, a Christian nationalist, and that means you're delusional and dangerous. You will soon be an enemy of the state, which means that if this is the definition that we stick with in this culture, it means you might want to be very mindful about how you speak about these issues. You might, at least at this moment, want to consider whether or not you allow yourself to be identified as a Christian nationalist. There's a reason that monikers are important. You're able to broad brush a huge group of people, label them negatively, and therefore brand them all as dangerous. That's how you get rid of a dissenting opinion. And by the way, that is what liberalism, specifically socialism and Marxism, always does. You will not find an instance of this in any civilization ever. They must identify particular people groups in order to silence their opposition. And so freedom of the press goes away, freedom of religion goes away, freedom of speech goes away. And how do you do that? You brand them as dangerous. You see, coming out of philosophies, and it's not just Marxism, you can go back to Rousseau and to Locke and to Hobbes, who would say that the autonomous self surrenders some of its liberties for safeties. And we give the right to do that to the state. It's known as statism. The state protects us. The state keeps us safe at all costs. And so when the state has a certain set of values that they want to have protected and defended, they are willing to brand and label people who are dissenters. And historically, those people are silenced. In varying forms, they are silenced. That has happened in every single nation that veers toward socialism or Marxism or really just liberalism, far-left liberalism. It's the playbook. And my fear is that is what we are hearing today, courtesy of Bill Maher, talking about the mass delusion of America known as Christianity, specifically evangelical religion. And he is using the events of January 6th to say all of those people there, they were all evangelical. Look, the details are irrelevant. Because right now you might be saying, well, wait a second, there were people from Antifa. Doesn't matter. Hey, there were people there from Black Lives Matter. Most of the people were peaceful. Doesn't matter. That does not matter. What matters in the social narrative is how you get branded and labeled. I'm not saying you don't try to present the truth. What I am suggesting is, truth aside, you as an evangelical Christian are the same people who went into the Capitol and wreaked havoc. That's you. And you're now a Christian nationalist. And so if you aren't mindful of this, you might in conversations be saying things that are completely innocuous, but people hear it and go, ah, you are a Christian nationalist. Therefore, you're dangerous. That's what Bill Maher thinks.
By Oscar Schindler. But space lasers from Jews? Please, magical religious thinking is a virus and QAnon is just its current mutation.
This, by the way, is his treatment of the Book of Revelation. It's wacky. It's zany. And you and I are now a part of QAnon, too. Whether you believe in any conspiracy theory or not, you're a part of QAnon. Listen to the way you are being described.
That's why megachurches play QAnon videos. It's the same basic plot. Q is a prophet. Trump is the Messiah. There's an apocalyptic event looming, the storm. There's a titanic struggle of good versus evil. And if you want good to win, just keep those checks coming in.
By the way, that is actually an accurate analysis of every worldview. It does have a creation story. It has a fall story. It has a redemption story. It has a judgment story. And it has a paradise story. All of them, including socialism and Marxism, social justice theory, you name it. So his observation is accurate in that it is the framework for every single worldview, but he's applying it to evangelical Christians. Who else has mega churches?
We need to stop pretending there's no way we'll ever understand why the Trump mob believes in him. It's because they're religious.
Boom. That's you. No. That's not where I fit. You fit there if that's where you're being fitted.
They've already made space in their heads for that doesn't make sense.
He's talking about evangelical Christianity. We're the delusional ones.
When you're a QAnon fanatic, you're also a fundamentalist Christian. They just go together like macaroni and cheese or Chardonnay and Valium. Just me? Okay.
Perhaps, but that broad brush approach, like it or not, that's you, evangelical. You believe in every QAnon theory. You would like to burn down the Capitol. You're fine with the Capitol being rushed and mobbed. You're fine with all of that because you're being labeled a Christian nationalist.
That insurrection looked like a revival meeting with people praying around wooden crosses, waving the Christian flag and Jesus saves signs, yelling, Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. A Jesus 2020 banner hung near the gallows that was erected for Mike Pence.
I know what you're thinking. I didn't do that. Well, you did, because now you're getting branded as a part of the gang. Be mindful of this. It might mean that rather than sitting passively and being labeled a Christian nationalist, you might have to gulp a little bit and say, no, I'm not that. Now, the two words maybe work fine in your mind, but in the mind of Bill Maher and his accolades, it is a pejorative. No, it's worse than that. It is the worst of the worst. It is total delusion, and it's dangerous.
Because I guess he's Judas in this version of the story, mm-hmm. Which makes this guy Pontius Pilate. It's not a coincidence that every senator who objected to certifying the electoral vote in Arizona is an evangelical Christian.
There it is.
When Ted Cruz defended his vote to overturn a legitimate election, he said, recent polling shows that 39% of Americans believe the election that just occurred was rigged. You may not agree with that assessment, but it is nevertheless a reality for nearly half the country. In other words, we have no proof the election was stolen. And you may have verifiable evidence that it wasn't, but that doesn't matter. It only matters that we believe it.
That's just staggering. Because, by the way, that is exactly what critical theory is. If you believe it, it is true. But for Bill Maher, I don't think he's necessarily a fan of critical theory, but nevertheless, he's turning the tables completely here. You can't believe it and make it so, even though the people that he's most likely to drink Chardonnay and take a Valium with believe that if you believe it, then it is so. Nevertheless.
And that's when you're at religion. That you have to respect something just because people believe it. Does that include professional wrestling?
By the way, where's he going with this?
The founding fathers were pretty adamant about building a nation based on reason instead of faith. Thomas Paine wrote a whole book about it, The Age of Reason, and it was a big hit. It was the white fragility of 1794. So respectfully, I direct you to your own t-shirt. F*** your feelings.
Well, I guess we know where we're going. What's the next step? That you can't believe in God publicly? Bleep your feelings. We'll find out, because Bill's not done. I don't think the words, the Christian nationalist logo, has been fully fleshed out yet. But it's definitely worth watching, and you should be aware of it. And if nothing else, we should be learning the lesson. You speak about moral, social, and political issues, and if you are known as a Christian or you bring Christ into it, you are branded a Christian nationalist. And these days, that ain't good. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not gonna be Debbie Downer here. Gonna let Paul Washer play that role. This is Wretched Radio. A number of years ago, sitting on a panel discussion at a conference, Paul Washer was asked about the subject of persecution. Please note, this goes back to 2015. It would seem that without being a capital P prophet, Paul's words were pretty prophetic. Why? Not because he hears from God, but because he simply studied history. That's all you need to do. How do people behave when they have a particular ideology? There's nothing new under the sun. And while methodologies might look slightly different, at the core, they're basically the same playbook. Why? Because it comes from the same ideology. And it is not just about economic systems. It is not about moral issues. It is about getting rid of God. That is what is happening in our culture right now. This is not about conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. This is about God or not. And individuals who do not love the Lord will do anything it takes to suppress any sort of remnant that would cause their consciences to be tweaked. We see this described in Romans chapter 1. Study history, recent history, of even Marxism. Study the French Revolution, and you will see that there are certain patterns that happen. There's a rejection of God, and then what do? Because your worldview and your, perhaps, power are built on lies, you need to silence the truth. They suppress the truth and unrighteousness, not just in their consciences, but in their cultures. Because if you are a truth speaker, that's very dangerous. Truth is light, lies darkness. When you shine the light into darkness, the darkness doesn't like it. So what do? You snuff out the light in whatever form necessary. And we have seen that over and over again in any single country that becomes Marxist or socialist. Paul Washer, talking about the subject a number of years ago, is simply being an historian.
The church in America is going to suffer so terribly. And we laugh now, but they will come after us. They will come after our children. They will close the net around us while we are playing soccer mom and soccer dad. While we are arguing over so many little things and mesmerized by so many trinkets, the net even now is closing around you and your children and your grandchildren, and it does not cause you to fear. You will be isolated from society, as has already happened.
You're a Christian nationalist.
Anyone who tries to run for office who actually believes the Bible will be considered a lunatic.
Happening right now, isn't it? page anybody who identifies as an evangelical.
Until finally we are silenced. We will be called things that we're not and persecuted not for being followers of Christ, but for being radical fundamentalists who do not know the true way of Christ, which of course is love and tolerance. You'll go down as the greatest bigots and haters of mankind in history.
You would think that he delivered those remarks yesterday. Nope, 2015. At least that's when I have this clip. It could have been earlier, frankly. Why? Because Paul Washer has traveled the globe. And he has been to Soviet satellites. He has been to socialist countries, former Marxist nations, and he knows the playbook. And it's what's happening right now, which means, Christian, we need to, if we have not yet, we need to figure this out. Not necessarily everything that the world is doing or trying to do in our culture, but how we're to be living. What are we to be doing? What is our assignment while we're here? And as I read through the New Testament, and I would challenge you to do likewise, we see our marching orders. Basically, carry on with church things, with evangelism things, with prayer things. Those are the things that we are to be about. Written in a first century context where Christians were not considered citizens of the century. They were considered outcasts. They were a threat to the state because, wait a second, they claim that Jesus Christ alone is Lord? No, that's not the way it works in the Roman Empire. Caesar is Lord. You eat flesh and blood, cannibals. You're not for abortion. You won't send your kids to public schools. They were hated. And we are finding ourselves increasingly walking in first century sandals. And the book that was written that we call our holy book was written in that context. And it repeatedly, it just keeps telling us, carry on. Just keep carrying on. Don't be trying to be as consumed with changing culture. Carry on. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced that you become convinced of. 2 Timothy 3. Carry on. Be about the business of your master, who, by the way, if anybody was persecuted, it was Jesus.
They've already come after your children, and for most of you, they got them. They got them through the public schools and indoctrination in the university and indoctrination. And then you wonder why your children come out not serving the Lord. It's because you fed them right into the devil's mouth. So little by little, the net is closing around. And then it's not little by little. Look how fast things are going downhill just in a matter of weeks. Matter of weeks. But at the same time, know this. Persecution is always meant for evil, but God always means it for good. And is it not better to suffer in this life to have an extra weight of glory in heaven?
Indeed, if, of course, we are focused on eternal things. Today is today. Tomorrow's going to look a little different compared to yesterday. And we don't want to be alarmists. We don't want to be walking around in trepidation, but we don't want to be dumb. We don't want to be naive. We want to be aware. If you are now being labeled a Christian nationalist, it doesn't matter what the definition is. It is a bad thing. If you like to put your hand on your heart during the national anthem, if you like to stand up as the flag goes by, if you like to teach anything about anything good that happened from the founding fathers, you're a Christian nationalist. And they're terrible, and they're bad, and they're a danger. Why? Because they're a threat to the state. More specifically, they're a threat to godlessness.
You must settle this in your mind. This is the one thing I want to say over and over. Do not believe. Down through history, you have a wrong idea of martyrdom and persecution. You think that these men were persecuted and martyred for their sincere faith in Jesus Christ. That was the real reason, but no one heard that publicly. They were martyred and they were persecuted as enemies of the state. as child molesters, as bigots, as narrow-minded, stupid people who had fallen for a ruse and can contribute nothing to society. Your suffering will not be noble. So your mind must be filled with the Word of God when all people persecute you and turn on you. And if the Spirit of God and common grace pulls back and you see even your children and your grandchildren tossing in the lot that you should die.
Are we ready? Should be. Should be. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but it does not appear that the affections of the world are growing warmer toward Christianity. Not when I hear monologues from Bill Maher, who, by the way, is not a wacko liberal. He's not. I know. You're like, wait a second. When did Bill Maher become more commonsensical? Well, like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the drawer twice a day, he does. Compared to people who are way left. And yet Bill Maher is calling you a Christian nationalist, saying you're delusional and you are dangerous. There's nothing new under the sun.
This is no game. You want revival and awakening, but know this. For the most part, great awakenings have come only preceding great national catastrophes or the persecution of the church. I believe God is bringing a great awakening, but I believe that He is raising up young men who are strong in trust in the providence of God to be able to wade through the hell that's going to break loose on us. And it will be on us before we even recognize it, unless in God's providence, He is not done. He is not done. Now, no, this is not silly talk. Apart from a great awakening, these things are going to come upon you. Be ready to lose your homes, your cars, and everything.
Are you ready? Should be. Even if we don't, should be. Right now, we can adjust. You can, I can. My adjustment's different than yours. Are we training up our children to love Jesus and fear the Lord simultaneously, to stand alone on the Word of God, and to be prepared for what could be coming persecution? Am I ready? I'm not talking about buying potable water. I'm talking about our souls. I'm talking about our activities. Are we about the business of our Master? If not, might suggest to you, now is the time. This is Wretched Radio.
I say potato, you say potato. I say primer, he says primer. For the last 20 years, there's been a remarkable amount of talk about the gospel. But could it be that we've been talking more about the message than we have the wellspring of the message? The word gospel is used 25 times in the New Testament, but the word Jesus is used 691 times. Have we majored more on the message than we have on the center of the message? Maybe it's time we fill our hearts and our conversations more with Jesus. And Wretched has a unique opportunity for you to begin doing just that. Pastor Milton Vincent has written a powerful book that we know will grow your love for Christ. He calls it The Gospel Primer. I say primer. Either way, we wanted to make this book available to you because we want you to begin to experience the joy of the Lord in a more powerful way. Get your copy of The Gospel Primer by visiting wretched.org/gospel. That's wretched.org/gospel.
Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 little disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Hey, yo, fam, it's your main man, Jimmy Jam.
Apparently, the hip and relevant thing to do these days is target millennials, and that's exactly what we've done, too. We found our very own millennial, John Fabares, who put together a squad and hit the road to tackle the tough issues that millennials are struggling with. Why is there evil in the world? Is Jesus really God? What is truth? Millennials have questions, and Road Trip to Truth is answering those questions in a clear, concise, and biblical manner. We want to reach this generation, your kids and your grandkids, and we believe this resource is an excellent way to open the door to important conversations we need to be having. Visit roadtriptotruth.org and get your copy of this 13-episode series, along with the Bible study that's perfect for middle schoolers through adults. It's roadtriptotruth.org. Roadtriptotruth.org.
Books of the Bible. Ezekiel was a prophet and priest in Israel. The language in the book of Ezekiel is often symbolic and figurative, but the message is clear. God rules over and judges men and nations. When you are tempted by sin, Ezekiel reminds us that God is holy and has called his people to holiness. He will go to great lengths to purge evil from among them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
But that doesn't matter these days. This is Wretched Radio. If you haven't heard, evangelical, you are being called a name. A two-word name, Christian nationalist. Let me help you understand how broad-ranging and how terrible this term is. Jimmy, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like pasta?
I love pasta.
Fascist.
What?
Yep, you're a fascist. You like pasta. And Italians, you know, they love fascism. You are a fascist.
So I'm Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Jimmy, yes. Got another question for you.
Okay.
The Swiss Alps, do you think they're beautiful or what?
I'm afraid to say yes, but yes.
You Nazi!
Oh, my goodness.
You know, because they're right by Germany there, and the Germans were Nazis, and if you love the Alps, you're a Nazi.
Makes sense.
Okay. Third question for you.
Oh, no.
The national anthem. Despite the high note, do you love the national anthem?
I do.
Christian nationalist!
Oh, my goodness.
See how that works?
Perfectly.
If you love anything about the historical country known as America, you're a Christian nationalist. And it's not a positive term. It is not a term of endearment, with or without Shirley MacLaine. It is a bad word, and you're being called it. And the way that they are putting you into that classification is by identifying your beliefs or your activities as being dangerous. Case in point, and you can look pretty much everywhere these days in the news, and you will see this trend. The National Cathedral, it's that glorious building, at least, in Washington, Episcopalian. This is where presidents tend to go because it's kind of a safe sort of place, I guess, so that the liberals don't get mad at you for going to something religious because, well, frankly, the National Cathedral, it might be religious. It's not very Christian. They invited Max Lucado, and wow, are people upset by it. Lucado's teachings and preaching inflicts active harm because of his stance on homosexuality. It inflicts active harm on LGBTQ people. A petition contended. So Max Lucado spoke there, and there's now a petition to say that he's very bad. I don't think that he's preached there yet. They want him to preach there. And people are signing a petition to say he shouldn't because he is what? He inflicts active harm. So if you think that somebody's behavior is wrong or gasp sinful, you are inflicting active harm. Quote, a man who preaches that kind of dangerous theology that promotes oppression of and violence toward the LGBTQ community. That's all you need to do is state something that is contra the predominant imposed worldview, and you're dangerous. Now, I'll have to change the details of this to keep anybody from getting in trouble, but I was just talking to a buddy who mentioned to a client that he wasn't a fan of something that's going on in the country. And guess what happened to said friend? His boss got a letter stating, "I felt terrified by the hostile environment that he created by saying that." And all he did was say, "You know, I don't like that anymore. I don't like that." Was it? That was it. And what was the response of this individual? He created a hostile environment. "I felt threatened." Really? For stating, I wish I could tell you what it is. It's so innocuous. You'd gasp. "I just want to make sure nobody gets in trouble here. It was dangerous." That is the modus operandi. If you state anything that is traditional, conservative, or certainly biblical, you're dangerous. You're a threat. You need to be what? Silence? Stifled? Here's another example. Let me ask you this, though. We've got to do a little math first. When you think of the liberal attitude toward QAnon or any sort of what is being classified a conspiracy theory, is it a positive view or is it a negative view? Most certainly it's the latter. That anybody who says, you know, maybe this is what's going on. Now, it could be wildly kooky. It could be something that has some credibility. It doesn't matter. It's now deemed a conspiracy theory. And all conspiracy theories, of course, are bad, you know, until they're proven right. But the point is, if it's the wild, nutty stuff that exists on the internet, or if it's something that actually is sort of reasonable and possible, doesn't matter. It's a conspiracy theory. And you need to know that. And you need to know that any sort of speculation about how you think perhaps that the government is behaving, you just need to know that's a conspiracy theory. And it is increasing in its breadth. Headline. This is from Christian Headlines. There's a professor, specifically Paul Braderman. Hope I've got that right. Professor emeritus in chemistry at the University of Glasgow, who describes himself as a skeptic and anti-creationist, stating, "Creationism bears all the hallmarks of a conspiracy theory." See what they did there? You define something as bad. You then find something about you that could possibly fit in that category. You get tossed in and you're bad and you're dangerous and you're a threat to the state. See how this game is being played? Braderman wrote, quote, "I would argue that the present day creationist movement is a fully fledged conspiracy theory." He thinks that also about global warming. If you're anti-global warming, you are now a conspiracy theorist. Ay, 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 ay.
Didn't he label Ken Ham as a...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course. Yeah, just, you know, crackpot, a nut, all of that. Of course. But it's more than that. It's more than that. Now you're a conspiracy theorist, and we all know those people are nuts, and we all know that that's dangerous, and it's bad for the state, and therefore it needs to be stopped. That's the routine. I know. You don't like it. But that is the reality, and this is where we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. It's not that I'm going to change my position on, say, global warming, but when I talk about it, I need to be aware of how it's now being considered. You're anti-science. You're clearly, you're a dark ager. You need to be thrown back to the Middle Ages because you don't believe in science. And isn't that, by the way, what evangelicals are being labeled? We're anti-science. Because we believe that Genesis teaches clearly God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth ex nihilo by the power of his word in 6 24-hour days, rested on the seventh. You're anti-science. That's right. We are anti-science, which is exactly why there's so many Christians in scientific fields, why we build hospitals, because, you know, we're anti-science. Doesn't matter. You need to know that when you say certain things these days, it's not that you necessarily stop saying them, but you do need to be aware. If you make claims that are biblical, they are being slapped with a label, and it is not a good one. This is not a mere difference of opinion anymore. This is categorizing you as a dangerous and terrible person, and it is going to be increasingly difficult for you to live in this society without being labeled as terrible. And we see this all the time. Case in point, Great Britain. Hospitals instructing midwives, oops, can you call them midwives? No, you can't. To use terms chest feeding and human milk in order to be gender inclusive. And the list of things. This is not a joke. I don't think that I could have written something like this. But here's the rules. Please keep up and please follow. If not, you are harming somebody. You're making somebody feel bad. Therefore, you're dangerous and you need to be fired. So her is them. Maternal is parental. Consent is informed consent. Maternal notes should be handheld notes. Or antenatal labor and birth care, postnatal care records. Mother is birthing parent. From the document informing the midwives, which should be changed, of course, to be politically correct. Woman and father will also be superseded by woman or person and parent, co-parent, or second biological parent, respectively. It is important to note that the term women encompasses both cis and trans women. Professionals should be aware that co-parents could have gender identity and could also be cis, trans, non-binary, and or intersex. Unless conversation is focused on gender identity with relation to cis, trans, or non-binary status, it is not necessary to include the adjective cis or trans before the words woman, man, or person. Are you tracking that? If not, you say it wrong, Christian. You've harmed somebody. You're oppressing them, and you are terrible. And you're probably a Christian nationalist to boot. Is any of it accurate? No, of course it's not. Is it entirely silly? Does it matter if this is the way that it is working? I'm not saying that we hide in a cave. Nope, we are in the world, not of the world, but we are here. We're not taken out of the world. We're here to be light. We just need to be mindful that we would do well to be wise as serpents, because we are living in a world that is dominated by the worldview of the original serpent. Christian, you need to know. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.